And I want you to open your Bibles this morning, if you will, the book of the Revelation, chapter number 20. I may not really preach this morning, but I'm going to do my best to at least warn you, give you some understanding from the Word of God, what the Scripture teaches about the subject of the judgment of God. And not so much in this morning, I'm not interested in trying to frighten anybody into making any kind of a profession, because I very well know, and I hope you know, that you're not going to get scared enough to get saved. You've got to be drawn by the Spirit of God. But I believe it would literally change our lives if God's children could get a hold of and grasp an understanding of what the judgment of God's going to be like. I think we've talked about it. I think we've heard about it. I think we've read about it. But this morning I'm convinced that we don't have a real good understanding of what the judgment of God's going to be like. Revelation chapter number 20, beginning in verse number 7. When you look at this, you see that the church has already been raptured out. The church is gone. At the end of Revelation chapter 19, you see the Lord Jesus return to this planet, to this earth, with His bride, the church, the born-again believers, at which point there will begin 1,000 years of a millennial reign of Christ. For those who died lost without Christ, those who died in their sins that did not know God for this entire period of this 1,000 years, and all of the time between that and the time they died, they will be in hell. Hell is the holding place of the souls of men who died unregenerate, without God, who never experienced the new birth, was never brought to that place of contrition and trust and simple childlike faith in Christ that changed their life and made them a new creature. And then you see the 1,000 years millennial reign is ending up here in verse number 7. When the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went upon the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever. I like to open my Bible and read that to the devil every once in a while, and he will be tormented day and night forever and ever. And it's a sad testimony this morning, but there are individuals, no doubt, that stand in this building with your Bible open this morning reading the Word of God, and you too will be tormented in the lake of fire forever and ever. That breaks my heart. I've been somewhat discouraged in the last couple of weeks as I look around and I see and I think about how many people stand in this building, and you've stood and you've listened and you've heard the Word of God preached. You've seen God move in power, and yet you've still rejected Christ. But everybody ain't getting in. As a matter of fact, according to the pages of God's Word, most people are not going to get in. The Word of God said, verse number 11, I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell was cast into the lake of fire, and this is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. If God will be my helper this morning, I'll try to expound these scriptures a little bit. I'll try to give you some doctrinal instruction in the subject of the great white throne judgment of God. I realize there's a lot of distractions. I realize there's a lot of people that are sick and coughing and different things around us. I understand all that. But this morning, you need to really pay attention to what's being said today. Because on one side or the other of the judgment bar of God, every man, every woman, every child in this building, one day will find yourself before the judgment of God.
Amen.
And you need to really understand what is going to take place and why it's going to take place. The 1,000 years millennial reign, the Lord Jesus Christ will fulfill His promise to David and that Davidic covenant, and the Lord Jesus for 1,000 years will sit on a throne physically in Jerusalem. During that time, the Word of God says that Jesus Christ will rule with a rod of iron. That means all of the nations of the world will have no choice but to bow in reverence to the Lord Jesus Christ. And during that 1,000 years of that millennial reign, there will be children born on planet Earth. There will be people who will live natural, normal lives. The curse will be removed and men will live an old age. There'll be a lot of things that'll be different, but it will be physically this earth that we sit upon this day. The Word of God tells us that Satan will be bound for 1,000 years. He'll literally be chained and cast into a bottomless pit, into the center of this earth, into the one place in this earth where there is no gravity that would have the sensation of being a bottomless pit in hell. And Satan will be bound for 1,000 years. There's somewhat of a mystery, and people wonder, why would Satan be loosed at the end of that 1,000-year millennial reign? Because every child that was born during that 1,000 years have not had an opportunity to trust Christ the same way that you and I have had that opportunity. They've never been tempted of the devil. And the Word of God says that he'll go about the four corners of the earth, or the four quarters of the earth. And the Word of God says that Satan will deceive many. You see, how in the world would it be possible for any man, any woman, any boy, any girl to be deceived by Satan after they've lived in a Garden of Eden type atmosphere for 1,000 years with the Lord Jesus? How would it be possible for Satan to deceive men that they would come against the Lord Jesus Christ in the city of Jerusalem? How did Satan deceive Eve in the garden? He convinced her that in the utopia, in the beautiful, beautiful Garden of Eden that she lived in, that somehow or another God was not fair. There was more than she had experienced, and if she would just partake of the fruit, she too could be a god. And Satan would deceive men and make them think that God's not fair for them to have to go to Jerusalem to worship and take their sacrifice, and that somehow Jesus is just not fair. And the Word of God says that Gog and Magog will come down against Jerusalem. If you will study the Word of God in Ezekiel chapter number 38, in reference to Gog and Magog, you'll find two words that explain to us explicitly that that far north country is talking about Russia. Moscow, Russia, will come down from the north against Jerusalem. I realize today that Vladimir Putin, his name is in the news quite often, and people think that old Russian bear is dead. I've got news for you. That Russian bear is not dead. We've got many young people in this building today who know nothing about communism. But let me tell you that Sister Lori and I were in the former Soviet Union. I've studied there. I've preached there. I've spent time there. And that Communist Party is not dead. They still went to their offices every morning. They're still there lying just beneath. beneath the surface waiting. And Vladimir Putin, the leader of Russia today, is still a KGB agent. If you look at the United States of America and you were to say, what is the religion of America? Most people would say Christianity. If you were to look at the religion of Latin America and most third world countries, people would say Catholicism. If you were to look at the Middle East today, most of those countries are Muslim nations. Can anybody in this building tell me what the national religion of Russia is today? It's atheism. They do not believe in God. The atheists in Russia taught their children from small little lads and lasses in their schoolroom that had their children in that schoolroom bow their heads, put their heads on the table, and they'd say, I want you to pray and ask God to give you candy. And those little children had put their heads on their tables, their desk in school. Little babies would put their heads on their desk and they'd say, God, would you please give us candy? And then they'd raise up and they'd look on their desk and there would be no candy. And the teachers organized around the room would tell those little children, put your head on your desk and ask the government to give you candy. Ask the government to give you candy. And those little children had put their heads on their desk. And while they had their eyes closed and their heads on their desk, the teachers would walk around and take candy and put it on the desk. And when the children would raise up, there'd be candy on their desk. And they would say, there is no God, but there is government. One day that nation's going to come against Israel during the tribulation period and she'll be defeated and pushed back. But then at the end of the 1,000-year millennial reign, she'll come back again. The Word of God says that Russia and those that come with her will compass the camp of the saints. And the Word of God says God will rain fire and brimstone from heaven and they'll be consumed. And when that takes place, we say that God is an omnipresent God. He's everywhere all the time. That doesn't mean He makes Himself manifest, but He is everywhere all the time. Amen. And if you took everything away, what would you have left? Just God. And when everything's taken away, the Word of God teaches us that there is a throne set in heaven. And God will be seated on the great white throne of His judgment. The Word of God said, from whose face heaven and earth fled away. But there was no place found for them. Literally, the heavens and the earth will try to remove themselves from the judgment of Almighty God. I love Him. He's my Father. The Lord Jesus Christ this morning is my sweetheart. He is the love of my life. But I do not look forward to seeing Him in His wrath and indignation against sinners. There's something about that that makes me quake and breaks my heart on the inside. To know that people that have sat in this church, people that have heard the Word of God over and over and over again, one day will stand in judgment and God will be angry with you. Amen. Let me tell you what the Word of God says. Scripture. A lot of people preach about the Bible. I want to preach the Bible. I want to tell you what the Word of God says. And this may be a glorified Sunday school lesson, but you need to understand what this book says is going to happen. You're going to be there. Now listen. Chapter number 20. Verse number 12 said, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. That word books is books plural. That means more than one book were opened. And another book was opened. That's at least three books that will be opened at the great white throne judgment of God, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. I'll tell you something that's misunderstood in a lot of Baptist circles, and we make much, and I do too, and I don't mean to be doctrinally askew on this. We talk about people's names being written in the Lamb's book of life. But doctrinally, by doctrinal interpretation in the Word of God, every name of every child that was ever conceived in a mother's womb has already been written in the Lamb's book of life. Every name is all written. And there comes a time in a man or a woman's life that they reject the light of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's been folks that's been saved here in the last year that would stand this morning and testify that I know that God was letting me know this was my last chance to ever be saved. And had they said no and spurned the Spirit of God and said no to the Holy Ghost one more time, God would have taken His holy pencil and marked their name out of the Lamb's Book of Life.
Amen.
That book will be present at this judgment. Verse number 13, the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. Now listen. When you see this that's talking about death and hell, two different things, you need to understand what that is this morning. Death speaks of this human flesh, this human body. And it said death will be resurrected, and it said and hell will be brought up. If death is this human body, then what's hell? Hell is not a holding place for human bodies. Hell is a holding place for human souls. At the great white throne judgment of God, God will resurrect the bodies of the unjust. And He'll resurrect the souls of the unjust from hell. And He'll put men together because men rejected Jesus Christ in this body of flesh. They said no to the Holy Ghost of God in this body of flesh. Men will stand in the great white throne judgment of God in this earthly body. You understand what that book says? That's not my opinion. That's what this book says. The Word of God said the sea gave up the dead which were in it. That's all that were never buried in a cemetery that were lost at sea. Their bodies would be brought up out of the oceans and be reunited with their souls that came out of hell. Now be careful to understand that the church was judged 1,007 years earlier at the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment per se that we're seeing here is not saved individuals. The judgment we're seeing here is not the church. It's not the true body of Christ, but those who never experienced the true new birth. Those who never really knew what it was to fellowship with the darling Son of God as their Savior and as their Lord. This is the judgment of the damned. This is the judgment of those who have been in hell awaiting their sentencing. Now let's look. If there's going to be a judgment, there's several things this morning about a judge and a jury and a court and those things that we need to just know. What does the Scripture say? Now this morning I heard a precious young man on the radio this morning, and I hear this from folks occasionally, and they're real bad to say this is what I think or I really believe this. There are some things that I believe this morning, and my opinions are based on what this book says. This morning, I'm not going to tell you my opinion. I'm not going to tell you what I think about this. This morning, I'm going to tell you what the Authorized King James Bible says.
Amen.
About the great white throne judgment of God. Number one, if you're going to have a court and you're going to have a judgment, there are going to be witnesses. The Scripture says that there will be at least three books that will be there to be witnesses in this judgment. The first book will be the book of life. And God will look in that book and men's names will not be found in the book of life. And God will hold forth that book as a testimony to say your name is not found written in this book. Can you imagine the heart-sinking feeling of a man who's been in hell, who's already felt the fire and the flames of the judgment of a holy God, stands before God in judgment with his knees knocking to hear God say, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Their name was not found written in that book. I know that I know that I know that I know this morning. My name is written in that book. There's no doubt whatsoever. I know that I know Him on a personal basis. He calls my name.
Amen.
He said, my sheep hear my voice. And He talks to me and I know my name's there. There's going to be a second book there. And that's the book of God's remembrance. one left-hand page from the book of Matthew over into the last book of the Old Testament, the Scripture, Malachi chapter number 3. Verse 16, you can mark this verse in your Bible. This is what the Word of God says. This is not my opinion. But the Word of God says, they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Now here's my question this morning. If God's smart enough, and he is, to keep a record of all of the men and women and boys and girls that loved him and feared him and spoke of his name, if God kept a record of that, do you think God's smart enough to keep a record of those that blasphemed? Well, if you don't believe that, look at Matthew chapter number 12. Matthew chapter number 12 and verse number 36. The Lord Jesus said, but I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof when? In the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. God's keeping a record. There's folks sitting in this building this morning. You said things yesterday, and you've already forgot what you said. God ain't forgot. He's keeping a record. There's folks sitting in here, and you've looked at things on the internet in the last month, and you've forgot what you looked at. But God ain't forgot. He's keeping a record. Oh yeah, it's coming out one day. Then the second witness, the third witness besides the book of life and God's book of remembrance. You remember that in Deuteronomy chapter number 17, the Word of God says that a thing is established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Witness number one is the Lamb's book of life. Witness number two is God's book of remembrance. Witness number three for English-speaking people will be an authorized King James Bible. You better make sure you're reading this book, hiding it in your heart, and knowing what she says, because folks are going to be judged by her one day. I'm not sure I believe that. Well, look what the Word of God said in John chapter 12. John chapter 12 and verse number 48. I'm not giving you my opinion this morning. I'm telling you what the Bible says. John chapter 12, verse number 48 says, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. The Lord Jesus said in the day of judgment, men are going to be judged by this book. You better know what it says now. There's going to be testimony in the judgment, in the great white throne judgment of God. Now, remember, I brought this up already, but remember, those that are at this judgment are those who are damned, those who've never been born again of the Spirit of God. There's going to be testimony. Look in John chapter 5, verse number 39. The Word of God said, search the Scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. Turn back to Matthew 12, verse number 41. I want you to see, I know you're thumbing through your Bible hard and fast, but that's good. I want you to see, this is what the Word of God says. Matthew chapter number 12, verse 41. In 12:41, the Word of God said, the men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south shall rise up, when? In judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost part of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. I believe with all of my heart in the great white throne judgment of God. You better be listening this morning. You better be hearing what I'm saying. I'm not giving you my opinion. The Word of God says that God's going to bring up witnesses. I believe the Word of God teaches that there'll be individuals who've been born of the Spirit of God in this building in the last year. There's precious little ones that's got saved, birthed into the family of God, got their lives changed. And at the great white throne judgment of God, when God brings the damned from Flint Hill before the judgment of God, those that rejected Christ, rejected the Holy Spirit of God, God will stand up some of those newborn believers and stand them up and say, the very same Spirit that wooed them, the very same Holy Ghost of God that drew them to a place of repentance is the same Spirit that drew you, and you just said no.
Amen.
There'll be witnesses that day. You better believe it. You better be ready for it too. You better make sure you've wept every tear that you're going to weep now. You better make sure you prayed every prayer you're going to pray now. You better make sure when that day comes, you don't have to stand up with your knees knocking, that you could have done more and you should have done more, because God may stand you up for a witness that day.
Amen.
The Word of God, I'll tell you what the Bible says. I believe when a man stands in judgment, God being the fair and honest God that He is, that God will allow a man to have a say-so. Allow a man an opportunity to speak in judgment. Do you believe that? Look in what the Word of God says in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter number 7 and verse number 21. To put this verse of Scripture in its context, the context of the Scripture is speaking of false prophets. The context of this Scripture is speaking of those who prophesied that they were saved, they were born again, and said they were telling others the Word of God and how to be saved, but they were liars and they did not know God. That's the context of this Scripture. It's really talking about false prophets or lost preachers, if you will. Do you know today in America, the people say, I don't want to go to church. There's a bunch of hypocrites at church. Yeah, I agree with that. They are. And they're going to be in hell, and I don't want to be there with them. There's a whole lot of fellows stand up and say they're a preacher of the Word of God, and they're lost, and they'll go to hell. And this Bible says they'll stand one day. In verse 21, the Lord Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many. Look at that word. Verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? There are two meanings to that word prophesy. The word literally means to foretell. It could be somebody who preached the Word of God. It could be somebody who stood up and testified of saving grace. He said they prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Then while I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. When I think about the blindness of a sinner, I think about people who have sat service after service. They've watched people who thought for a long time they were saved, but God had never awakened them. The Holy Ghost of God had never drawn them and brought them to the place of repentance. Then they see that individual get saved by the grace of God. And in their mind, somehow, they are so blinded that they shut that out and they act as if that never really happened. There's some people that's been saved here in the last year, and there are people sitting around still criticizing and saying they really didn't get saved. They just got confused. I don't believe they got saved. I'm going to tell you what, there's folks sitting in this building today that are going to go to hell.
Amen.
They're going to go to hell because they're so blind. They've been so blind. You know how blind a man could be? Men were blind enough that they sat on this planet Earth under the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. They walked with Him. They talked with Him. They saw His miracles. They heard His Word. And they rejected everything He said and went to hell. What makes you think everybody that sits under some snot-nosed
slobbering, fat, blind Baptist preachers all going to get saved. They're not.
Right.
And I've had to come to the realization in the last few weeks, all of y'all ain't getting in.
Amen.
That's what this book says.
Amen.
Man will have a defense. There will be a judge and a jury. If you'll look in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. This ain't real popular Baptist doctrine, but it's Bible doctrine. I'm going to read you what the Word of God says about this, and you just do whatever you're going to have to do with it. There's a whole lot of folks in the world, the only verse of Scripture they can quote in the whole Bible is they say, judge not, lest thou be judged. They know how to say, judge not. They ain't even got a clue what they're talking about. What does it mean to judge? They don't even know what they're talking about. When you look at the Word of God in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, the Blessed Bible says, verse 1, dare any of you having a matter against another go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? It's talking about Christians here. Verse 2 says, do you not know that the saints, that's born again believers, when you got saved, you became a saint of God. Now look at what the Word of God says you're going to do, saints. Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? And how much more things that pertain to this life? Now, I'm in the Bible. I'm in the Word of God. Now, the picture is that you're standing before the great white throne judgment of God. God in His holiness is seated upon His throne. And behind that judgment bar sit all of the saints of God from all of the ages. Every born again child of God that ever fellowshipped with the Holy Ghost of God. Everyone that ever confessed they were a sinner and confessed Jesus Christ as their Lord and wept their way to Jesus in an altar are going to be sitting in judgment with God. That's what that book says. And before them on the other side of the judgment bar is a vast ocean of screaming, tormented individuals who've been brought up out of the regions of the damned. I'm telling you what the Bible says. There are three things. This judgment is a place of secrets. This judgment is a place of separation. This judgment is a place of sanctification. Now there's folks that no doubt sit in this building this morning and you think you pretty well got things covered up. But the Word of God said, be sure your sins will find you out. Now I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. Luke chapter 8, verse number 17. Luke chapter 8, verse 17 says, for nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Look in chapter number 12, verse number 2. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Look, if you will, over in the book of Ezekiel, that big major prophet in the Old Testament, in Ezekiel chapter number 8. Ezekiel chapter 8 and verse number 10, you see the prophet Ezekiel. As God in a vision is showing Ezekiel things that are taking place among the elders of the men of Israel. And he tells him to dig in the wall and he finds a hole in the wall. And in this vision, Ezekiel begins to see things. In verse number 10, I went and I saw. And behold, every form of creeping things and abominable beast, and of all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about. Now I'm in the Bible, Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 11. And there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel. And in the midst of them stood Jaazaniah, the son of Shaphan, with every man his censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. Verse 12 is where I'm getting to. Then said he unto me, son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark?
every man in the chamber of his imagery. Ezekiel was looking into their imagination. That's what your Bible says. The Word of God teaches us that in the great white throne judgment of God, every secret that a man, woman, boy, or girl has ever held, the Word of God says, will be made open and will be judged. That's what the Bible says. And the Word of God teaches that every man, woman, and boy and girl will know the secrets of your heart. God will reveal to them your imagination. I'm still in the Bible. Folks ain't interested at all in hearing what the Bible says. I'm telling you what the Bible says. God said you'll be able to see people's imaginations. What you think this morning? Is your heart on Jesus? Do you love the Son of God? You try to keep a pure mind and keep your thoughts on Him. God said in this judgment, it's going to be revealed what men think. Your imagination. I know there's people that don't want to hear that kind of stuff, but I'm telling you what the Word of God says. It's a place of separation. It's a place of sanctification. You say, what about people that's never heard the gospel? Romans chapter 1, verse number 18 says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. You say, but what if they've never been given the truth? Look at verse 19, Romans chapter 1. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Nobody's going to stand before God damned, about to be cast into the lake of fire and say, God, You didn't show me. If all a man on the darkest face of Africa ever has to see is the sun shining in the daytime and the moon at night, he's seen what God's give him enough light to let him know there is a God. The Word of God teaches light rejected is light removed. The Word of God teaches us that when a man gets that little spark of light, if he wants more, God will give him more. 138 separate cultures in the world today. 138 separate cultures have a story of a man surviving a flood in a boat with a bunch of animals. An Indian tribe in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, has an Indian legend of a man surviving a flood in a boat with a bunch of animals. An Indian tribe in Arkansas has an Indian legend about a man surviving a flood in a boat with a bunch of animals. Why do you reckon 138 separate cultures in this world have a story of a man in a boat with a bunch of animals? Right. They had the Word of God. When Shem, Ham, and Japheth got off that boat, every nation in the world had the Word of God. Amen. They just rejected it. It's a day of separation. God will separate the holy from the unholy. Philippians chapter 2, verse 10 says, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. The things in heaven, things in the earth, and things under the earth. That's angels, that's people, and that's souls in hell. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And you may not give Him glory in this altar, in this building, but you will give Him glory one day. Amen. Revelation chapter 3, verse 9 says, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, who say they're Jews and are not, but do lie. And the Word of God said, I will cause them to bow before thy feet and worship, and to know that I have loved thee. What's that mean, girls? That means that everyone that rejected the Word of God,
That means everyone that rejected Jesus Christ and said no to the Holy Ghost of God one day will come before the great white throne of God, and they will have to bow at your feet and acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord. They may not give God glory in this building. They may never weep and wave their hand and glorify God. They may never stand up full of the Holy Ghost of God and give God glory. But at the great white throne, they will bow.
Amen.
Why would you have a judgment? Why would there even be a reason for the great white throne judgment when these people are already in hell? They're going to be judged, Brother Jonathan, by what they've done, what they've not done, to determine the degree of punishment that they receive in the lake of fire. Now, I know you don't hear that in a lot of Baptist churches, but I'm not telling you my opinion. I'm telling you what this book says. Open the Word of God in the book of Matthew, chapter number 23. We'll be looking in Matthew and Luke and then back in Matthew. Matthew chapter number 23 and verse number 13. I want you to see for yourself what the Word of God says. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you set up the kingdom of heaven against men. He's talking to the religious leaders. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer. That word suffer means allow. Neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for penance make long prayers. Therefore ye shall receive, you can underline this, the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when you have made him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Look in Luke chapter 12. I'm telling you what the Bible says. We're talking about degrees in the lake of fire. Why will some people suffer a greater judgment in the lake of fire than others will suffer? God's just. God's holy. God's honest. Do you think for one minute that God's going to pick up a pygmy in Africa and He's going to give a pygmy in Africa the same judgment in hell that He gave folks that sat on the pews of a fundamental Bible-believing Baptist church with the touch of God and revival and the Holy Ghost moving in power, and God's going to give you the same judgment that He gives a pygmy in Africa? I don't think so. Luke chapter number 12, verse 46. The Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. That servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much of him, they will ask the more. God will require more in judgment of people who've heard the truth than people who've sat in churches with liberal so-called pastors that didn't have a Bible. They watched puppets and clowns and a bunch of foolishness. God will judge them a whole lot less than He will you. Matthew chapter number 11, we're going to stop. Matthew chapter 11, verse 20. Then began he, who? Jesus, to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. They watched him raise the dead.
They watched him heal the sick, and they still wouldn't repent. How you think God's going to treat Flint Hill when he's raised the dead, healed the cripple? Tracy, give sight to the blind. Men that say, once I was blind and now I can see. Amanda, folks that thought they had spiritual eyes, and all of a sudden God opens their eyes and they see things they've never saw before. The miracles God's performed in our sight. Verse 22 says, but I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. Thou Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee have been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. Listen to this. Y'all know what Sodom is, don't you? Sodom is the city in the plains where God rained fire and brimstone because of the ungodly acts of sodomy between gays and lesbians. And God literally rained fire down. And what did God say here? But I say unto you, verse 24, that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. That's what this book says. God said one day, I'm going to stand in judgment and I'm going to have more mercy on the queers of Sodom than I will you, because they never had a Baptist preacher. They never had a precious little old girl to stand up weeping and streaming tears and say, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to deceive anybody I thought I saved. But the Holy Ghost of God sent me and woke me up. Let me know I wasn't right. And I trusted Him. And I cried out for forgiveness. And God saved me. And God changed me. Hey, listen, Sodom never had a testimony like that. Sodom never had a man of God that cried and weep and sweat and spit and try to tell people what the truth was. Flint Hill has.
Amen.
Well, I wish you was all getting in. Yeah. I wish you was all getting some help. But I already know this morning that the Lord Jesus Christ had folks that walked with Him and talked with Him and fellowshiped with Him. They died and went to hell. Right. Judas, with the blood of the Son of God on his lips, fell headlong into hell. Who am I? What am I? I'm not anything. But I thank God for the ones that have got in.
Amen.
I thank God for the ones that got in this altar unashamed and wept their way to Jesus. The Word of God said, Jesus said, if you are ashamed of me before this wicked and ungodly generation, He said, I'll be ashamed of you before my Heavenly Father. And there'll come a day that men and women and boys and girls will crawl up to that judgment bar. And they'll weep and they'll stream tears and they'll scream, God, have mercy on me. God, forgive me. I didn't mean to. It's too late. That's not the time or the place for forgiveness. That's the time for judgment of the degrees in the lake of fire. It's a place of separation. I don't understand just what that'll be like. I will have a glorified body, Miss Pat. And people say, I'm so glad that God's wiped away all our tears. I've said this here before, but I'm saying it again. We're reading in Revelation chapter number 20. God don't wipe the tears away till Revelation chapter 21. Miss Francis, I believe we'll sit at that judgment of God and we'll stream tears and we'll weep like babies. And I believe if it wasn't for the grace of God in our glorified body, we would not be able to stand it. I've seen people mourn and weep and pass out. And I believe if it wasn't for a glorified body, we couldn't stand it, Brother Tracy. We'd fall down.
Amen.
But God will give us a glorified body. And some stand on the other side of the judgment bar of God, seated beside our Savior. In this place, we'll watch somebody that we
went to bed with and got up every morning and sat across the breakfast table from. They'll come kicking and screaming. Everybody's not going to plead for mercy. I'm telling you what the Word of God says. The Word of God says during the tribulation period, God pours His wrath and judgment out on this world. The Word of God said men on all their tongues for pain. And the Word of God said they'll curse God. In the judgment bar of God, men will stand on the other side of that bar, look toward the saints of God and the Son of God, and they'll curse God. They'll curse God and they'll swear. They'll curse God for every time they ever drew a breath. They'll curse God for the day they were born. There'll be people sitting in this building, you'll curse God for the first time the Holy Ghost ever rung your bell and showed you was lost. You'll curse God for every time you ever heard a gospel message. You'll curse God for every time somebody like Miss Teresa ever stood up and gave a testimony of being saved by the grace of God. You'll curse God. I believe that. That's what the Word of God teaches. Now, I'm not trying to scare you into a profession. I couldn't care less about that. Because I can't scare you into getting saved. But if there's any reason for this morning, I want you to know, God's youngins, look around. I want you to turn your head and look. Just look around this building. If the rapture of the church takes place now, today, if the rapture of the church takes place before we come back Wednesday night, you've seen faces in this building already this morning that you will not see again until you see them at the great white throne judgment of God. You will be there. I want you to bow your heads.